Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 2nd of the 9th month, 2025. It is a Tuesday evening and it's 3 minutes past 2200 hours. How? 22 minutes. Ha. Okay, 3 minutes past 2200 hours. It is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about betrayal syndrome. What is it? Betrayal syndrome, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever found that, you know, when somebody betrays you? Today's Tuesday, now we only have 2 hours. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. Have you ever found that, you find it very difficult to share the same space with somebody or even interact with somebody that has betrayed you? And even after a long time, you are wondering, kuchaman hukom fulek so. I said, Mos, I forgive. And I really did forgive with my heart, Mos. I believe I did forgive with my heart. So why am I in this space? Why do I feel like this? Maybe you have betrayal syndrome. Maybe it's deeper than you think. Maybe, just maybe, right? You are going through the motions and it is what it is. So, betrayal syndrome. What is betrayal syndrome? Before we get very far. Betrayal syndrome, also known as post-betrayal syndrome, PBS. You know, the way these abbreviations are, ne? The abbreviations are abbreviating. Refers to the complex psychological and emotional trauma experienced when a trusted individual or institution violates that trust. Okay. So it is a psychological or emotional trauma experience. So emotional trauma is more something that shocks you. It doesn't have to be physical. It's actually not physical. It's something that shocks you, which I never expected it. I just never thought that this person would do something like this to me. It could be bestie, you know, bestie at work, bestie. And then bestie just goes behind your back, goes straight to the boss and then just drops all your dirty file, all your dirty laundry just there in the office. Kucha, yeah, this is what she does in her free time. And this is what she does with the company car. And this is what she does with the company funds. And this is what she does. This is when we were drinking and she was supposed to be at work. And then this is us. And then she just does that, you know, and then, the boss is like, okay, I get it, but why are you doing it? I know, I just want the organization to have appropriate people and all of that. And then I was also hoping if you could employ me, here's my CV. And then the boss is like, yeah, absolutely. Because this is evidence, Mos. This is evidence. So I'm going to employ you. And then tomorrow, if the boss just says, no, you are fired. Don't come back to work. While you're picking up your little things from your desk there, your friend walks in, you know, and she's taking over your desk. And you're like, but friend, then. Like, that could be something that's emotionally traumatizing. You're like, what? Or psychologically complex. Like, what? How? What happened? You know, I just threw in my CV a long, long time ago, Chomi. And the people called me and then they were like, no, I can come and start work. I didn't know that I was filling in your position. And then you're like, so now you're feeling some type of way towards Frinton. But you're not thinking it's as deep as it is until you walk out of the office and then one of your colleagues that overheard the meeting like maybe 2 days ago tells you, Jafrinden, you are with a snake there. That friend of yours is the one that brought in her CV. She's the one that there's a whole file in the office there of all the things that you have done with company funds, with company vehicle, with company what, with company everything. All the dirty laundry that you have ever had is dished out there. We even know about your status. Whatever status it is, we know about your status. So then you are like, what? Oh my goodness. And then the symptoms can include anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, sleep disturbances, hypervigilance, and difficulty concentrating, a profound loss of power and trust in self and others. Yeah, that's the part where you are like, I can never trust a friend again. Have you ever found those people that say that I don't want to have friends anymore? I don't want to have friends. I don't want to date anymore. I don't want to I don't want to do anything with other human beings again. It most probably comes from betrayal syndrome. It most probably comes from that. And that is like you feel like you are grieving because of what most probably happened. Like in this case, if we're talking about Uspan, the job. Dispan. We'd be talking about the fact that you're unemployed now and you are kicked out onto the street. But there's also the sense of like grieving. You're like, what? I lost a friend. I lost a job. I lost. That's the time that the landlord is also knocking all of a sudden. You know, landlord has trusted you for years, but all of a sudden now landlord is like, yeah, I think we are getting new people and you should move out. And you're like, hey. And then landlord even told you, there's no need for a deposit because you look like a good person. So now even if you move out, right, you don't even have the money to just go and squat at like a room somewhere and figure out your life. There was no deposit because the landlord is so nice. The landlord is caring and the landlord was loving on you. And now the landlord is like, no, I don't want that. And whoa. So this is what you go through. You're tossing and turning, you know, tossing and turning. And then, maybe hypervigilance is like, you are extra careful. So every time you make a friend, whatever you say, you are very careful about how you say it, when you say it, how you said it, and under what circumstances, under what mat you said it. And you scrutinize everything about yourself because you're hypervigilant. You're like, okay, like, I need to look at my words. I need to see my words. I need to listen to what I'm saying. I need to listen to how I'm saying what I'm saying. I need to be fully there, you know? And this is like, there's so much power lost, right? There's so much control lost within yourself because now you can't control how you feel. You can't control your emotions. And even if you could control your emotions, today's just not the day for it. And that in itself, right, is something that's depressing for you. And it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And it's so bad that you carry it around everywhere. So you might be carrying it around to your new job, or you might be carrying it around to the new relationships or the new friendships, or you know, even just senior people. It depends on who has harmed you or in what way they have harmed you. People that are associated to something that they look alike or they don't look alike, or everything is just a mess, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about betrayal syndrome, né? And what it is. So betrayal syndrome is a form of trauma. Betrayal is a betrayal of trust that results in deep emotional and psychological wounds. So I trusted you. I trusted you with my dirty laundry. I wouldn't tell you that I'm using the company car if I didn't trust you. I wouldn't tell you that we are chopping Eagle FM's money if I didn't trust you. I wouldn't tell you that, I'm embezzling funds, you know, if I didn't trust you. I wouldn't. And I feel like that's most probably how people feel about the whistleblower, which are kyobra, like, tiele ti tunse sam, mara kanti chase owner me, odin che kohi, chase owner kanti, chase, need a slang, what do they call it, slam heilig. And you're thinking to yourself, but how could I allow this to happen? I should have seen it. And that's now part of the side effects of it, right? You ask yourself, where did I go wrong? Because you deem yourself, we all deem ourselves to be great judges of character until we allow orange into our t-shirts. And then we're like, but I thought that scorpion didn't even have like a sting. I thought the scorpion was not scorpioning, and now it's scorpioning on my body. How did I allow this? And you feel guilty and you feel ashamed for allowing yourself to trust somebody like that. You feel guilty and ashamed for allowing somebody like that into your space and into your know-hows, right? And it's traumatizing because how do you overcome this? How do you heal from this? It's so traumatizing that there are women out there that have been betrayed by their lovers. And ever since that one lover, Ne? Ever since that one lover, they've never tried another relationship ever again. I know them. I know these kinds of women. And with men, not so much. I don't know many. Maybe just one. But apart from that, men, I don't know really. Maybe you guys can come and tell me if you guys also suffer from betrayal syndrome. If a woman just genies you. But I know that, players are birthed by betrayal. Players are birthed by disappointment from women. So male players, chigalows, are birthed by betrayal from women, somewhere along the years when they give it their all. And then the woman turns around and gives them a taste of their own medicine. Do you know, I don't understand why men feel so bad when they are dished what they have given to the previous relationship. Imagine you're dating this guy and this guy is cheating on you left, right and center. Woo! He's sleeping with the maid. He's sleeping with the garden lady. He's sleeping with the landlord. He's sleeping with your friends, your cousins, your sisters. He's sleeping with the cashier. Everybody is getting a piece of him because he's community like that. And then the minute you just decide that, you know what? I'm just going to talk to somebody. Just talk. Yeah, this guy is like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I can't believe you did this to me. You're like, Like, I don't get it, but okay. Maybe it's traumatizing because they just never expected it. But I think that most things are traumatizing because we don't expect it. And it goes back to trusting the process, right? We have to trust the process this year. This year, apparently, we are trusting the process here at Pulling Heartstrings. This is our resolution for the year. And trusting the process is also not expecting anything. Now, I'm a firm believer in all I say. And because from experiences and from interacting with other people, right? I've come to realize that the thing that is beating us is expectations. Literally, the thing that's beating us is expectations because we are expecting you to be monogamous. We are expecting you to be sober. We're expecting you to be non-violent, non-lethal. We're expecting you to be loving, to be kind, to be understanding, to be compassionate. We are expecting you to comprehend what is being told to you so that you can grasp it, right? We are expecting this. And then when you don't, it is such a big failure. Right? That we get hurt in the process for believing that it could have been done. But if we didn't have any expectations of anything or anyone, we would be very happy because every single blessing that comes our way, we would be grateful for it. We would look at it like, wow, I got this. Do you know when you get a surprise gift or a surprise voucher or a surprise birthday, something, when you get surprises, right? You're always surprised and you're always happy. You know, if it's a pleasant surprise, you're always happy. But now, because we are expecting, right, we have built castles in the sky for ourselves and we have also painted the picture and narrated the story already. So before we get there, we have visualized, what your deal is. It's like saying that you're going to check out somebody's new place. I noticed that many of us do this. I don't know about others, especially like the men. I don't know if you guys' imagination is also vivid and wild, but I have asked around a few women and they do actually do this where you're going to visit your friend that's moving into a new place and you visualize what the place looks like. Crazy, right? Like, we have so much brain power. We have so much time on our hands that we are visualizing what a place might look like, right? Before we get there. So when we get there, we are either disappointed or surprised and happy. So could it be that our expectations are the ones that are causing us trauma? They are causing us, all these distress in our lives because we are expecting. And sometimes also one of the things, you know, I've said this to an ex there. I looked him straight in the face and then I told him, Kucha, I'm expecting too much from somebody that can't achieve it. Yeah, straight. I was like, yeah, like I'm expecting a lot from you and you can't. And the fault is on me because I'm putting a heavy burden on you and you are not capable. You don't have the capabilities to achieve this that I'm expecting of you. And that is unfortunate, right? But it's mostly unfortunate on my side because, if I had no expectations, it would be smooth because everything that's good that comes, I'm happy, and everything that bad that comes, I'm just there. I was not expecting it. Now, when bad things come, we tell ourselves it's like a defense mechanism, these expectations, because we tell ourselves like, yeah, I told you, Elizabeth, I told you that this is going to happen. I told you it's going to be like this. I told you. And these are the expectations that we have, but it's not bad to be having expectations because we also set the bar and the standards for ourselves and the people that are in our lives, not even high enough, right? Because if we are of good caliber, we expect also good caliber. Betrayal syndrome. And the next one is relational context, right? It occurs with people or institutions you depend on for survival, emotional support, or basic needs such as parent, partner, or caregiver. So these are the different forms and elements that are within betrayal syndrome, right? And we are talking about what it is, and what it is a form of trauma. So in a relational context, who is most likely to cause us this trauma that causes us betrayal syndrome? It's usually people or institutions that you depend on emotionally, financially, or for survival and basic needs, such as parents, you depend on them for basic needs. And then partners, you depend on them for emotional support. And if you are an infant, you depend on caregivers for survival. So betrayal syndrome would be your caregiver pimping you out to some strange guys that come there. Like you. Child abuse straight, or like pimping straight. And you never thought that she would betray you like that. Like, why would she do that? You know, since she just decides that, no, I'm going to start pimping you because now you're old enough and we need money. And the men are always looking at you. So that is a caregiver, from a caregiver context, right? That is how you could most probably develop like betrayal trauma. And also, it could also come from your caregiver not giving authority, but turning a blind eye when something bad is happening to you, as if they can't see you. Betrayal syndrome is also something that a lot of people that have been abused within households, right, have towards others or towards the people that were supposed to be taking care of them, that turn a blind eye. I read this story about this woman. She was Haitian. Yeah, Haitian, and her father was Haitian and the mother was Jamaican, and then they basically just lived in the house all their lives, and they never went to school, they never went anywhere, they just lived in that one house. And the father was touching the kids, like all of them. Like, he was not just touching, it gradually moved to molestation, and then it gradually literally moved to like rape, and then until even the oldest one got pregnant by him, and then the second one also got pregnant by him, biological father, by the way. And then like the syndrome there was very strong because their mother was in the house the whole time. So when your husband sneaks out at 2 a.m. in the night, every night, and comes out of the girls' rooms like, he goes in at 2 and then he comes out at 3 or 4. What do you think he's doing? And why are you not going to check? And then she also says that she remembers openly telling her dad about it, or her mom about it, and her mom pretended like she didn't hear nothing. And I know that we can't really victim blame, but a victim would blame another victim if another victim was an older one, because we look at our older people, like our older sisters, our older brothers, our mothers, our fathers, you know, our seniors. We look at them with a sense of, you are supposed to protect me. You are supposed to look after me. You're supposed to be a care what? Giver. And now you are pretending like, I didn't just say what I said. You're pretending that I wasn't talking to you. You're pretending like you didn't hear what I just said. Like, what's up? Like, yo. So later on, you do develop this And then there's also a sense of violation of trust. It's not just the event itself, but fundamental violation of the trust you placed in the betrayer. So this could be in a sense of you trust your friend so much, and you love your friend, you trust your friend, and you trust her with your life. And then she turns around and she's the one that makes you lose your job, makes you just have a bad life. And that violation of trust is the one that really just eats at your soul, especially when you are dealing with a partner. For example, a partner is somebody that you intend to be with for the rest of your life. In every single relationship, not unless you're like one of those psychopath chicks and psychopath guys where you're just in relationships for fun. But generally, when you get into a relationship and it gets serious, you intend to be with this person forever. And then this person turns around and betrays you after you trusted them. So you trust this person, which I know. Habibi works from home, so me, I go to work every day at 8 o'clock. He's not doing anything. You trust him with your matrimonial home, only to find out that this person is bringing in girls, or this person is having house parties, or this person is doing whatever they are doing, renting out rooms while you are gone and chasing the kids to go and sleep on the floor, or whatever it is, right? And that is a violation of trust, because I trusted you to uphold the relationship. I trusted you to uphold the matrimonial home, the matrimonial bed. And this is how you play me. You know, this is how you Jedi me and put me in a corner like this. And that's just one of the things that people that is the essence of betrayal syndrome, because it is you violating my trust. It is you going against everything that I thought that was. And I now have to rebuild an image of you that involves your capability of betraying me, or your capability of breaking my trust. And how do you do that with somebody that you have trusted for 20 years? How do you do that with somebody that you have trusted for 30 years? How do you do that? Very, very difficult to do so. And what are the common symptoms that you can most probably think of when it comes to betrayal syndrome? So betrayal syndrome in itself, right, is referred to the complex psychological and emotional trauma experienced when a trusted individual or institution violates that trust. So it is like Ministry of Health taking all your HIV status, all the whole country's HIV status, and putting our HIV status out there with our names, our IDs, our proof of residence, our PO box, with all our information. And then they just put all our status on their website for anyone to read. How? That is a betrayal of trust. And they're an institution that's supposed to keep this confidential. You trusted them when you went to them to go and get your status, right? You didn't expect them to throw your status outside there, and here they are. They are dishing it out. Even worse, they sponsor their things so that it's running. Every single person in Namibia is finding those status, my dear, finding everybody. Now they are all, everybody's, do you remember the time when the grade 10s and the grade, it was the grade 10s and grade 12s, when they used to matriculate in the newspaper? So you ask your cousin that, oh no, give me your reference number, or give me your what number, so that you SMS also at 12 o'clock so that you can get her results. Imagine. Yeah, so it's basically the same thing. So that's in the example of an institution, right? Like the Ministry of Health is a whole institution that is supposed to be safeguarding our medical history. Yeah. Safeguarding our medical history, making us comfortable enough to go to them for our medical needs. And here they are, they're telling people that, yeah, we need schizophrenic medicine because, matriarch, ID number, what, residential area, PO box, cell phone number is having schizophrenia. Like, those things are confidential most. And now here you are being publicized. What if one day the Ministry of Health just wakes up and then they just go and print their own newspaper, over 2 million people's HIV status. Everybody that has ever gone to them and was diagnosed positive in the past 10 years or 20 years, they just disclose all of our status like that. That would be was a breach of trust, you know, a breach of I expected you to respect me and confidentiality. And now you're putting out my things outside there like yo. You know, and you suffer so much. It's like your employer putting out name. You know, every institution has a wellness office. Me, I'm the wellness office here at Eagle FM. I'm the wellness officer here at Eagle FM. So, you know. So imagine now you go to HR or you go to the wellness officer and then you tell them that, no, I was recently diagnosed with bipolar, borderline personality disorder, with acute what, and these are my conditions. So lately I'm up and down in these types of mood and what. And then you speak in confidentiality, you know, matriarch is nodding like, yes, Mr. Tuesday. Okay, no, we can definitely deal with this as a company, and we just urge you to take your medicine and stay strong, and you know, this too shall pass just like everything else. And the most important thing for you to do as an individual is understand that this is not happening to you, this is happening through you. This is an experience that you are having. This is a human experience, and you don't know where tomorrow will take you. So the best thing to do about it is accept and understand. Understand what you have and understand why it is happening to you so that you can maybe take it from there. And then you guys have a nice conversation, man, with the wellness officer, and you are feeling good. You come out of there. I want to do my work now. And then tomorrow, I have pasted everything that we talked about, ne, on the bulletin board at work, bro.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Buy 2x Rhodes 1 liter 100% fruit juice for only $49.99. 2x 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with Smart Buy. 400ml Vaseline body cream or lotion for $44.99. And 2 kg sunlight hand wash powder for only $54.99 with Smart Buy. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Alrighty, my beloved. So we are talking about betrayal syndrome. And the reason that I'm talking about betrayal syndrome is I feel like many of us are going through betrayal syndrome, and it is wild. It is crazy. And you can't explain why you feel the way you feel. Mara, you know, it's not ayobaring. It's not doing the motions. It's not doing the things that is supposed to be done. And you're just out here and you're just trying your best. And you're just here. To be honest, you're just here. And there's nothing much you can do about it except exist. So you're existing and you're trying to be okay. You're trying to be a good girl. You're trying to be a good hun. And in this good hunship, you're just messing a lot of things up. You're messing a lot of things up because you are going through so much, and this so much that you're going through is so much that you can't handle it. And also, I've noticed that we don't have grace with one another. We don't have grace with one another, especially for people that do bad things to others. They don't have the patience and the tolerance to stick around for the backlash that comes with it, for the aftermath that comes with it. And we don't want to stick around. It's like we create monsters out of people, and then we don't want to deal with the monsters that we create. And when we create these monsters, it's like, oh no, me, I don't like this monster. This monster sucks. So I don't want to do this anymore. Like with this, woo. Like, yeah, but why are you so insecure? Imagine somebody creating insecurities within you, finding you perfectly normal from your mother's house or from your father's house or from your relatives, you know, from your clan, you know, Kazimo Jenny, finds you perfectly normal, finds you a happy person. And then they just make you this miserable uncle. They make you this miserable uncle or auntie. They make you this miserable person, and you have gone through so much. And in everything that we do, right? Something's bound to change us. And when it changes us, people don't like to deal with the change that it has created. People don't want to deal with the change that it has created. Because, I don't like this one. I don't like this that you have become. And this that you have become is just not my type. It's not my feeling. It's not my what. And no, so-be-so, what, you know? And you're like, yeah, but I wasn't like this. I was like a nice girl from my mother's house, but I wasn't like this. And now you don't like this that you created, but you found me perfectly nice, and then you turned me into this. I believe that many of us, we turn each other into monsters. And sometimes, right, look, it happens like this. Sometimes the person might change you into a monster, But they are not monsters, right? They change you into a monster with the things that they do to you. And they do around you, over you, under you, above you. They change you into a monster. And then later on, you are this grizzly bear monster kind of shandy. And then you change them into monsters as well, because you are doing the whole reactive thing. You are reacting to the trauma because your body keeps count. Your body keeps score. And that is why people flinch when they've been violated. They flinch. And people that are often beaten a lot or beaten, right? When somebody moves their hand up, quickly, they automatically duck or they automatically shield themselves. Now, what is that? That is most caused by physical abuse. And betrayal is the same. So every time somebody says something that's off, you are hypervigilant with everything that is said, because you are still in that mode. To get out of this mode, it takes as long as it got you to get there. Because sometimes with a prolonged term of trauma induced things, right? You develop now, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And this one is the one that can now make you hypervigilant, difficult, and what, and all these things. And it's because it has been over a long period of time. So allowing others to heal and being in the same space with them is the most difficult thing any human being could ever do, because people take time to heal, and it's something that we cannot understand. We can't understand that the magnitude of what you did didn't affect me the way it would have affected you. It affected me on a deeper level, because now I'm dealing with the idea of you that I had. The reason that wives are so, or women, right, feel so bad when they're cheated on is because they never imagined, not unless they didn't heal from previous relationships, right? But they've never imagined you to be the person that is cheating on them. They've never imagined you to be the person that is betraying them like that. And then now they have built this idea of my man would never do that. My man would never do that. My man is a nice man. My man. And then the my man, turns around and just does the dirty. And now I have to break down, because your activities, right, they broke down this image that I had of you, where I held you on my pedestal, right? My expectations that were actually met. Where I held you on this pedestal, now I have to take you off. And it could happen. I have to take you off, and I have to rebuild a new image where it is not just befitting, it is factual. It is true that, okay, so I'm married to this person that has the capability of infidelity because they have done it prior. I'm with this person that has the capability of hurting me so deeply emotionally and sometimes even physically. I have to now rebuild an image of you and still preserve the little things about you that have not changed, because you think it's just cheating. But now I'm scrutinizing everything. I'm looking at the way you treat me when you're cheating, the way you look at me when you're cheating, the way you are when you're cheating and when you're not cheating. So I'm trying to still preserve the love, but I'm also trying to safeguard myself, because the pain that I felt there, the shame, the embarrassment that I felt there, when I now discovered your infidelity, right, was so big that I have to deal from that. And you have betrayed my trust, and you have opened up a can of worms that we will take such a long time to put back. And this process, you are just enjoying it for like 60 seconds and then you're done. But for me, it might even take a lifetime for me to come to a point where I'm really honestly just letting it go, forgiving you and letting it be, right? That's why I'm not a fan of cheating. I'm not a fan of cheating, and I don't tolerate it, because I would like to believe that Otikunyanyara, and I will be angry with you. And also, especially if we started from the beginning, I'm a very vengeful person. When we started from the beginning, right, I already build an image of you. I already put you in high regards. You can have flaws and stuff like that, but these flaws are things that I can live with, but there are certain things that I cannot live with. And these certain things, you went and then you break the trust, right? When you break the trust, it's like I have to start at ground zero. So now I have to learn to listen to you. Even when I don't believe you, I have to learn how to trust you. Even when I don't trust you, I have to learn how to not drive myself crazy with detective work, because I can't control you and I cannot change you and I cannot expect it not to happen or expect it to happen. So I'm in battles with myself. I'm in deep battles. I'm in Kunta Kinte Kilimancharo Ozala. I'm inside those battles with myself, because now everything that you do, right, I have to look at twice, and that's the hypervigilance. I have to look at twice. I have to double check. I have to make sure. And then maybe, just maybe, right, I even develop mechanisms to help me cope with being in the same environment with you, even though you are the one that broke me. They say that you can't heal in the place that broke you. And many of us are trying to heal in places that broke us. Many of us are trying to heal in places that hurt us so deeply. And the worst thing about human beings is that if you put them through even half the pain that they have put you through, they wouldn't have stomached you. They wouldn't have stomached you. They wouldn't have stayed with you. They would have been gone. They would have been like, nah, brah, this is not my portion. I can't be with a person like this. And this person, like, no, I'm leaving this person. Oh my goodness. You know, Mara, then they found you. They found you a sane person. They found you a loving person. They found you a believing person. They found you a person that has no betrayal syndrome. You don't feel betrayed by them because they have never betrayed you. But yet, you are here and you're like, yo, Mara, it's intense here. It's tough here because now you're not allowed to heal because your healing takes long and it's uncomfortable for them.
If you are set to save, You Save is the shop to be this month end. When last did you only pay 94.99 for 5 kilos of Marathon White Sugar, or $116.99 for Champion Super Maize Meal, or just $64.99 for 3 kilos of Grande Pasta, and $27.99 for Rama Original 70% Fat Spread? You Save, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
And win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Buy 2 times Rhodes 1 liter 100% fruit juice for only $49.99. 2 times 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $139.99 with Smart Buy. 400ml Vaseline Body Cream or Lotion for $44.99. And 2 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $54.99 with Smart Buy. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So, we're talking about betrayal syndrome. We're talking about it because, we are going through the motion. You know, and I'm looking at people, and there was this movie that we were watching, and it was about an African housewife. I know you don't picture this for me, but this is my life, guys. It is what it is. African things. Okay, so this Antine is married to what she deems to be a very attractive guy. Because me, I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, sister, you are very much deeply in love with this gentleman, yeah? And she's like, my husband, the most handsome man in Africa, the most handsome man on this continent, the most handsome man in the globe, the most handsome man in the universe and the galaxy, yeah? The most handsome, you know, God took 8 days to create my husband. I say, yay. I'm guessing that this is how husbands want to be tangled by their wife. Hey, do you know that God took 8 days to create my husband? My husband was created in 8 days because he is so marvelous and amazing. So the way she loves her husband, at first it looked cute. Yeah, the way she loved her husband, it was nice. She was doing everything, and then she also was like, don't go to work. And it looks cute at first. You know, the first day that you're experiencing the first day, she's like, after so many years, they're still so in love. And then the wife is like, oh, don't go to work. You know, and she's doing those things. And then she grabs the keys and then she goes into the house and then locks him in. And we're like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, you're looking at people's sons being locked into houses with cute faces, by girls, puppy love eyes. Come on, oh, no, don't leave. You can just work from home. You know, ever since COVID, we know now how to work from home. Once we didn't know until COVID taught us more. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, daddy, this is like nice. I like that. Maybe I should get. I even took a pen and a paper so I can write down. Maybe. I can learn some tips from Madame over here. Such, you know, she seems to be doing things here. And then the next day, same story. 10 days after, same story. I was like, then when is this man supposed to be work? Because clearly you are the one that is now at home most. So when is this man actually supposed to work if every day it's puppy eyes, puppy eyes, puppy eyes? And the housekeeper is given this ugly dress that is until the knees, no figure whatsoever. The thing is not holding on to the housekeeper at all, because apparently you are going to seduce my husband. And the housekeeper is like, madam, don't be like that now. Like, anyways, then the housekeeper ignores it. So the other day she finds the housekeeper cooking, and then she's like, what are you doing? And she's generally like really, really nice. You know, even when she's talking to the housekeeper, you know, they're talking nicely. And as soon as the husband conversation just comes up, then she just becomes defensive and like defensive and crazy in a weird way. So she asked the housekeeper, oh, so Cynthia, what are you doing? Cynthia is like, no, I'm cooking for Oga. I'm cooking for Oga, before, so that when he comes back from work, there's food for you guys, for you too. Hey. Then she's like, no, how many times do I have to tell you in this house that I'm cooking for my own husband? Now imagine that there are only two in the house, ne? There are only two in the house. And if Cynthia is cooking, it's for the three of them. I mean, there are only three in the house. So it's the maid, it's the husband and the wife now. And like, no, didn't you hear what these magazines, they said, the magazines, they said that, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So you want to get to my man's heart through your cooking, through his stomach. And the housekeeper is like, no, Oga is not even my type. When the housekeeper said this, Kucha, madam, Oga is not my type. Hi. She's like, did you see my husband? And then she got mad. Now I'm wondering, Kucha, why are you getting angry when somebody is saying that your husband is not their type? It's not their type. They are not interested in your husband. Shouldn't you be happy that the person is not interested in your husband? But now this woman was acting like, you are pretending to be blind, because if you could see my husband well, you will know that God took 8 days, to create my husband. My husband, the body, the looks, the skin like this, the beauty, my husband. You know, she's praising her husband. The maid is like, that's not my type. For starters, your husband is light skinned and Mina, I'm into that dark chocolate. Like the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice kind of flex. You know? Thereby Oga's brother, yeah. Because Ogaila is like a darker, a bigger brother. Like thereby Oga's brother, yeah. Maybe there we can have a conversation. But here by Oga, no. Then I have a baby with him. And she even said like, then I have a baby with him and the baby comes out albino. You know, like, because we are both light. No. I don't want to take those chances. And she's like, she got mad, like the wife got mad. And this woman literally just built up insecurities. When the husband goes to work, she's like asking, yeah, are there any females at your work? And who came into your office? Did you look at their nyash? Did you, and then it was cute at first, you know, when we are watching the movie and it's progressing, I was like, oh, like, are these little insecurities? We said it in a cute way. Later on, I was like, my insecurity, no. But the problem was that Oga didn't do anything. Oga is the guy that goes to work and comes back home. Oga is the type of guy that walks around. If he could wear, like, if he could put a tattoo on his forehead, say, on his forehead saying, I'm married, ne, he would. But that guy is loyal to the T. So there has not been any trauma that was caused there. Mara, this woman was just so insecure. And part of her insecurities came from the fact that, she's uneducated and she's also a village girl. So they were village champions together at some point. And then the guy went to varsity and then from varsity, you know, he became successful. Then he went to get his woman was. And when he went to get his woman, he's like, no, just come. And then she didn't used to speak, proper English. And then he took her to classes. She learned so that she can articulate herself and they are living a good life. But this woman just became so insecure to the point where one day they were watching, TV with the brother-in-law. He came to visit and when they were watching TV, there was like a scene where there is a boss that calls the secretary into the office and then they do the dirty in the office. And the brother-in-law is like, yeah, most men do that, you know, with their secretaries and their PAs and stuff like that. And this woman's eyes just opened wide and she's like, most men. So you mean even my husband can do that? And the guy's like, no, not your husband. But at this point, she was already convinced. My dear, this woman is to put on a tight, is to go to work, to go and fight the girls. And this scene was so, it was so funny because now they come back home and wife is looking disheveled. Eh? Disheveled. If you know disheveled, shovel. And she's looking disheveled. And the husband is like, look at how you embarrassed me. So the lady went to the work and found the guy in a meeting with a CEO lady. And they're just sitting at the desk, one side, the other one side. And then she decides to jump the lady, like decides to start beating the lady. And he's like, and the worst part is that you embarrass me like this. You come and then you want to fight somebody. And the worst part is that you don't even win. You get beaten. Like, what is this? Oh, I laughed so hard because she was so embarrassed, really. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she's the type of person that also, when he's talking on the phone, she grabs the phone. And she's like, he's married. And when she goes and listens, right, it's a whole dude's voice that is just talking work things. And she just grew insecure like this. And now imagine if it was a person that was actually creating these insecurities. Because this one, she created them herself because her husband is doing nothing. To be honest, her husband is doing nothing. He has never done anything with anybody at all. It was just only his wife. Not talking to anyone, no password, nothing. The man is clean, guys. The man is like, I'm ready for marriage. I'm in marriage. We are in. Mara, this madam, I don't know what happened to her, but she says that, so later on she started seeing a psychiatrist, right? And part of the insecurities was because she felt inferior. She had an inferiority complex and she felt like she was not good enough because of her background. And and her body and her skin tone and how attractive everybody is in Lagos. You know, everybody's so attractive and everybody has nyas. And then she's just a slender girl, and she even wonders what her husband saw in her in the first place. And these were just her own insecurities. But now imagine you come from your house with all that confidence, which I know, me, I am the girl. I am the girl. I'm the girl. I'm the girl. And then slowly but surely somebody picks at your confidence. Somebody picks at your confidence. One, you go and do your hair. Nobody's telling you look nice. You do your nails. You have to tell them 10 times that, oh yeah, I did my nails. Look, they don't even notice these things. And it's not because, women apparently want, to be noticed. It's not just that. It's also the fact that we do extra beautiful things, right? To look beautiful. And then you, the one that we are trying to look beautiful to, doesn't notice it. But then the strange guy, the strange guy on your way there is like, oh wow, I love your nails. This color is so befitting on your skin tone. Hey, my dear. But there you get home. The person is like, yeah, indauka siture, the drainer, shashi, toka turamo pa injela, toka ningashike, toka ningashike. It doesn't even notice nothing. So imagine somebody is picking at your confidence on a daily basis. And it's not just, bullying with word of mouth. It could also just be gestures that they don't do. They don't touch you. They don't look at you. They don't speak with kindness. They are not playful. It's just nothing like that. And later on, you start thinking that maybe you are not attractive. And then you guys go out now and then, but this person is turning around. This person is turning around for every girl that is passing by with nyash, every girl that is passing by with a face beat, every girl that is passing by with Brazilian totasso, and ngwe ke umbotorombiranga. No, I love your natural hair, but every girl that he's breaking his neck for, is just looking like an artificial somebody, and it starts eating away at your confidence, and you start thinking that maybe I'm not attractive, maybe I'm not nice. How come he's not going on like that? Switch off the lights when this coitus, switch it dim. And then you're like, how? But this eats at your confidence so much, and then it causes insecurities within you. And these insecurities that I'm not good enough, and self-esteem, you also develop self-esteem issues along the way. And imagine you go through this for like 10 years. By the time you are in year 11, no matter how many self-help books that you have read, Mel Robbins' books of Let It Go and what, you have read every single book in the self-help environment or sphere, right? By year 11, you start to believe that it's true. And it's not even true. You just start to believe it because you have been torn down and worn down for such a long time. You can't really differentiate between the truth and somebody just trying to mess with you like that.
Onda karahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandi mokuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo o utungaraka mahupi. Onetwe kaimwe okufuta rumwe. Oku inyenga rumwe, oku japa ndali, fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga onetwe kaoyo, hai dira ya fange. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi streaming. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi popi. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi nigaishe, poshika ndoshimwe. Pamwe na parateza, oenda holora, ameha ishipangere, osho pa umwene. Dira, omakota fanoni data, momkaro wiri, mwana parika okutuma koutumaraka, oku streaminga, noku denga pamwe na parates. Konga, parates, Namibia.
Always prepare, parates.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about betrayal syndrome simply because we can, because how, it's at least to teach you guys a little something. So in the first hour, we spoke about what a betrayal syndrome is. So betrayal syndrome is defined as the complex psychological and emotional trauma experienced when trusted individual or institution violates that trust. So you trust Ministry of Health with your information, and then tomorrow ne, it is on the internet. All your information is there on the internet. Your HIV status, your mental health, because that's most now the stigma. Because there's no real stigma against cancer. There's no real stigma against, you know, lupus and other chronic diseases. But even with high blood pressure, there's no real stigma. But thereby, or HIV, and mental disorders or mental illnesses, you know, there is a lot of stigma there. And I sida. Sida is AIDS, you know, backwards, or sida. And all of a sudden, Ministry of Health has put out your things and your information is out there. So now all your exes are calling you. Kucha ay pana. Eh, ano, are we? Am I also banning? And you're like, no, I got it after you. Like, but who was after me? When was this? Because after me, you took a gap year, and then, oh, my dear, and that's what you're dealing with. So that is an institution, for example, or even just your HR or your wellness officer telling everybody that I'm gonna get in arm and say, I'm gonna go diagnosing what last month, no schizo and what, and that's a violation, bro. That's betrayal. Like, how can you betray me like that? Especially when I went to sit there and palm out my little heart, shukumuna. And I think that's one of the problems that, people, especially in the force and police things, ne? They are so iffy about their mental things and their ailments that they don't want to go to, they don't want to go to state hospitals. They would rather prefer to go to like private hospitals because, hey, at least by private, they'll be private about it, I think. So we're talking about betrayal syndrome because I think it's something nice to talk about. Yeah, because why else are you angry? Because sometimes you are thinking that, oh, you know what? I'm still angry. I'm still upset, or I'm acting so much out of character that I don't know what is wrong with me. And part of what is wrong with you is the fact that you have to share the environment with somebody that has betrayed you, and you have to try and heal within that environment that somebody has betrayed you. Now, healing in the environment is not really a problem when you are with the support, a supportive system, or where you are in a supportive system, or where the betrayer, right, is supportive in your healing journey and recovery. You actually recover so much faster if they can rebuild the trust that you lost in them. You know, it works so much better, but people don't have that kind of patience and they don't have that kind of tolerance, right, with other people, because you must just get over it, because I said that I'll never do it again. So you must just believe me, but yet you're the same person that said that you would never do it in the first place. And here we are. We're sitting here and you have done this, dear. Eh? This, I saw you. You have done this. I think gaslighting is the worst, where you are making me believe that what I can see, eh, and what I can feel is not real, only to turn around and for it to actually find facts. That's why I always say that when you come to a point in a relationship, when you have to pull out receipts, ne, just know that there's something seriously wrong there. When you have to pull out receipts in terms of, this is what you did last time. You know, okay, slapper is evidence of purchase, most. So imagine you have to go and show the person their SMSs that they send you and the video of what they did to you when they were under the influence of alcohol, for example. Kucha, this is you walking into the house and shouting and then taking out a panga and a bow and an arrow and all of this, because apparently they didn't do it. Yeah, they didn't do it. And you're like, are you trying to say that I'm crazy or what? Like, no, maybe you just, yeah, you know? And you're like, ah. So what are the common symptoms? If you're trying to maybe diagnose yourself and you're like, okay, so give me the juice, matriarch. What are the symptoms? So we're going to run with symptoms. And then after we do our symptoms, we're going to go to, what causes it? We're going to go into that, and then we're going to finalize our program because we only have 2 hours today. So what are the common symptoms when it comes to betrayal syndrome? One, emotional symptoms. Constant anxiety, depression, anger, sadness, fear, and confusion. Confusion is when you're like, man, I don't know when, like, I don't know. Did I take it? Did I not take it? That's not forgetfulness, ne? It's not about you taking the cup there, but also forgetfulness happens a lot when you are failing to adjust into the environment in which you are in. You start doing things like being absent-minded. Now, when you're absent-minded, being absent-minded, ladies and gentlemen, is you taking the cup out to go and make a cup of coffee. You put the cup down, then you get to the kettle, then you realize that there's no water in the kettle. Then you take the kettle, you put in water in the kettle, then you put the kettle back on so that it can start furukaring. Then you turn around and then you go and get another cup. When you get another cup, you come, you put in sugar, and you come and you put in sugar, and then you put in coffee. And then when the thing boils, right, you notice that it has boiled, then you turn around, then you grab another cup, and then you put the cup down, and then you pour in hot water, then you put in the sugar, then you put in the coffee, and then you realize that your mug that's there has brothers and sisters because you are absent-minded. So confusion could be you not knowing exactly what is happening, you not knowing exactly what was said, when was said, and you are just so confused, but it's because you have been traumatized, you know? It's because you have been traumatized, it's because you are still somewhat in shock. It's like somebody shook you and you don't know how to deal with that. And the fear that comes with it is now the fear of trusting again, loving again, being with another person again, hoping that this person is not going to be the same as somebody else. But that fear also, ne, comes with other deeper bad habits. Like if you have been cheated on, for example, that comes with you in your next relationship. All you want to do is go through cell phones. Like how? Like you were born an IT technician or something. You're going through cell phones. You're going through their Instagram. You're asking questions like, why is your Instagram private? Eh? What are you doing there? You know that I'm not on Instagram. So what are you doing there? Why is your account private? Who are you posting? It's because there by Jeffrey. Jeffrey was cheating. And now you come here and even though the person is not cheating, you are like, I just want to know. If you have nothing to hide, then why is it not open? But it's because you have been betrayed before, and now you are so afraid of it happening again that you would rather be one step ahead. So before it happens, you're just trying to catch it while it's early so that you can leave while it's early so that you don't have to go and face the hurt that you have faced when you broke up with Jeffrey after 10 years. And the sadness, you're sad because somebody did you dirty. You're sad because somebody did you dirty, and you're sad because you trusted them and you didn't think that they could do this to you, and you didn't think that they would do this to you ever in your life. And that's why you're sad. And then comes the anger, right? The anger is, yay, there's a deep anger there by betrayal syndrome. There's a deep anger there because you're angry at yourself for believing them, for trusting them, for allowing them in, for all the times that, for your dom hachek, for all that time. You are angry about that. You're angry about little things, especially, like I said, healing in the environment that broke you is the most hardest thing to do. And maybe, just maybe, that is part of the lessons of life and the experiences that we need to go through in order for us to come out into our next lives better people. Because imagine healing in a war zone where you can't even determine if a bomb is going to come and bomb the hospital or not. And it's crazy. So that's why you're always angry. You're angry. You're constantly angry because small things remind you. They're called triggers, yes, but small things remind you of just how bad it was. You know, the way the person smirks, or the way the person is not apologetic, or the way the person is, it's not even to say that the person is absent-minded at all. It's more about the person is just being alive and living, and you are bothered at the fact that they are not having a hard time. They're not having a hard time with the fact that they did whatever they did to you. Imagine Imagine your drunk husband, right? Your drunk husband that you keep telling, don't drink and drive and don't speed and let's not argue in the car and all of that. You keep saying these things. Your drunk husband, right, that you have told a million times, kucha, don't drink anymore. Don't, please stop. Yeah, one day you're going to kill somebody on these roads and you're a bad driver. He tell this guy, and then one day, he decides, no, he's picking you up from work, not unless you are cheating on him, and you're like, no, but I will just drive my own car. You know, the person like, no, na yako kuyake kilonga, eh? Shashinongwengi kota cheating ara kilonga yeho no uriko ano tati matias, ah? Uriko ano jejeje, uriko ano jejeje. And then this very person comes and picks you up. And you don't really pay any mind to it because you're also just trying to keep the peace there in the house, right? You're like, ah, the person is drunk. He won't even remember that he was acting out like this. And then he drives you guys. And then, right, because of his reckless driving, because of his speeding, because of his intoxication, he bumps head-on collision with a truck. Luckily, the car just scraped a little bit somewhere there. But you, Wena, you're black. Your back broke in half. You're not dead. Your back broke in half. You're paralyzed for life. Are you angry at the accident? Or are you angry at the person that basically forced you to get into the car so that they can go and drive and break you so that you can never walk again? That kind of anger. You know, first of all, you are healing through it, especially in the hospital phase. You are healing through it because you're just grateful to be alive. You're grateful to be alive. You're grateful to be here. You are hopeful that the doctors will find a way to make you walk again. And you are in that space. So you are not really hating on him. You're not really hating on him. You're like, oh, how are you? And then him maybe had a finger scratch because, you know, driver never does nothing. And then also maybe the people didn't take their blood so they cannot determine whether or not he was intoxicated. So he kind of got off scot-free and you're happy about this because now the kids can be there with their father and all of that. But as time goes and you progress, right? You start to become angry. First of all, you go through the gratitude of being alive and near-death experience, what? And then you start looking at your scars. Now, when you start looking at your scars, I remember one of my nieces, the one that stayed with Elu ever since he was born, she was in a car accident. And this car accident was a car accident that that we went to the north to go and support my best friend at the time, and her grandmother had passed away. And then they were in the car accident where the uncle and the cousin and the other cousin passed away in that car accident. But then she got a nasty cut, you know, a scar, like it came from one side of the head to the other side. It's like Frankenstein kind of scar. And I remember the day we were in Ongwediva at Elu's aunt's place. We were in Ongwediva after now the funerals, the ordeal, the healing in the hospital, and you know, just finally coming out of it. And I remember the first time she took off her bandage, what she said stuck with me. She's like, I should have just died. Like, because how can I live like this? You know, because the scar is so bad. Like, how can I live like this? I should have just died. And it hurts so much, man. It hurts so much. And then later on, it gradually moved from that sympathy and that shock to I'm grateful to be alive. Other people died and then the worst part is that the whole time that she's recovering, she didn't even get to go to the funerals of the people that she was with. And that was also heartbreaking for her. And then eventually it came to a point where she was angry. Now the anger came like after 3 years, 4 years. The anger came because she was now getting like blurry vision. She was just, the impact of the trauma was now starting to manifest itself in other areas like vision and dizziness and drowsiness and also mood swings. That was happening a lot. So after that, what happened was that she started getting angry at me. So she would wake up and she's not talking to me. She's talking to everybody in the house, but she's not talking to me. And one day she comes out and says it like, I wouldn't be like this if I didn't go with you guys to Anganjera. If I didn't go with you to Anganjera, I wouldn't be like this. So this is your fault. And I reprimanded it very quickly because one, I even like, this is something that I told Akucha. One, I took you to Anganjera to go and stay with a child. I didn't take you to Anganjera to go to the kuka shops and to go and drink. I didn't take you to Anganjera so that you can be going to Okahao and to go and do whatever you want. I didn't even give you the permission to go. It was just all your decision. The people from your house decided that they are not going, but you chose to go. And I was not going to take that one. Ah, no. I was not going to go and live with such guilt like that, especially when it's not my fault. I was under the impression that you are at home. Eh? And then you go and do this and then you want to say it's me? No, 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 no. But you see where the anger comes in. The anger comes in of, how could you do this to me? You know? How could you do this to me? So every time you lie and I can see that you're lying or I catch you lying, it's like, bro, like, when does it end? When does it end where we're just real with one another and we try and grow past it and live past it and understand like what's happening? And then there's also depression, and the depression is the deep sad and grief and despair and hopelessness that happens within you as a person when somebody has betrayed you. It's so bad that you barely can't move. Like on some days, I lay there and I open my eyes and I look at the ceiling or I look at the wall and I'm like, I think at this point, if I didn't have kids, I would definitely be a depressed body. You know, if I didn't have kids, if I didn't have people that depend on me, I definitely would have been a depressed body. Then the anxiety is the constant fear. The anxiety is the panic that you have within yourself when you feel like it's happening again. Sometimes you feel like it's going to happen, and sometimes the situation in itself is also familiar that it's like it's reoccurring. And that's where the anxiety comes from. And it's like a constant anxiety. That's why you find people that tap their feet, they are shaky, they are what? Like, that's most probably anxiety, ne? And you guys are just thinking, eh? What? But, there by psychology, it's part of anxiety traits, ne? So, the next symptom is a cognitive symptom. Difficulty concentrating and constantly revisiting their experience, and a shattered world view. So a shattered world view is looking at the world like a broken place, and you are pessimistic about everything, which are, even if you find like a woman being beaten there, you will most probably just walk past her and say, you want me to help you so that I can fall in love with you. You might say this in your heart, or you might not even say this. You want me to help you so that I can fall in love with you, and then you're going to betray me. So I know everybody's like that. Or this usually happens when something of like, when you are betrayed by somebody that you never thought could betray you. And betrayal doesn't come from strangers. It comes from close people. So if close people can do this to me, what about you that's a stranger? You're not going to rob and kill me in my house if I take you guys in. Ah, no, I don't want. And I think that my worldview is also very tainted to some degree. I've developed this deep fear of strangers and deep fear of unknown people, except now clients, right? I love clients. Clients are great. But random people, I've developed like a deep fear for them because I feel like the world is so dirty and people are so dirty. I went to the court today. I was sitting there on one of the benches and this lady walks past me, and literally I don't know this lady, and she greeted me like an ancestor. It could have been my ancestor because I've been summoning my ancestors. Could have been my ancestors. She looks like she could be my ancestor. Yeah, she could be because I remember her face. I don't remember. I remember that she's a tall, big, Herero lady. And basically that's it. But she walked past me and then she touched me. Like literally she touched a stranger on a bench. She came to touch my body. And because I have a shattered worldview, right? Instantly in my spirit, or not even in my spirit, instantly within me as a whole being, because there was no sense of fear towards her. And I believe that when somebody is not harmful, then my body doesn't react like in defense. So I didn't get a reaction from the touch. I didn't get a reaction at all. So I know she's not harmful, but automatically, the first thing that I thought about when she touched me is, like straight, like, otawai kenjontawe, nenge, or something like, yo, bruh, like shattered worldview, like, ah, the people are bad, people are dirty, people are doing bad things, and parodi, like, yeah, that's me, like, woo, like, straight up. And that's now the shattered worldview that you might have. And as a symptom, kuja, ooh, you just like, So number three would be behavioral symptoms. Avoidance of relationships. These are now for the aunties that, have this one child and had this relationship that just destroyed every single fiber in their beings. They crunch so bad that the last time they had coitus was the last time they had coitus. Never again. You know, and you're like, but it's been 20 years. You know, because maybe you guys broke up when the child was 4 and now the child is 24. It's been 20 years. And then she's like, That's just betrayal syndrome. To be honest, because we are human beings, we all have emotions, even coitus emotions. For the women that say like, women don't really like it like that, that's not true. It's just because they went through something that is so significant to their existence that they sidelined, ne, the pum pum. They sidelined hard things. They sidelined anything that could accommodate another human. So these are part of the behavioral symptoms. Avoidance of relationships, where you don't want relationships anymore. And relationships could even be friendships and even just being acquaintances at work. You don't want. Eh? If you're telling me work things, then yes. If it's just hi, hello, and then how was your day? No, we are not doing that. There's no sharing pleasantries. I don't want to become your friend and then you're going to betray me. And then there's social withdrawal, where you don't socialize anymore. You don't do anything outside. You could used to be a bubbly person, you go to song night, you go to what, and now you're like, no, I'm not going to go there so that I can go and make friends. Ah, no, I don't want. Or I can go and meet someone, or even worse, yeah, and then I go and sit there and then I step on somebody's shoe by mistake and then they kill me with a bottle. Like, yo, like, does it have to be that far? They are not even bottles, they are plastic cups, so relax, Sister Bettina, you know? And then, there is potential self-blame, like, why did, I could have just done this, you know, when I saw him the other time, you know, when I saw him the other time with lipstick on his collar, you know, I could have just addressed it. Why did I even think that it was a colleague? Why didn't I think better? Am I stupid? Yeah, self-blame. I'm very stupid. That's why I didn't see anything. Hey, everybody could see. And this is now you walking to the shop, ne? You're walking to the shop and you're talking to yourself. Bro, there are only two sets of people that talk to themselves. Business owners and people that have been traumatized. These two sets of people, they talk to themselves like mad crazy. It's like a whole board meeting. They're like, yeah, now everybody just knows. Now I'm walking here. Even if somebody looks at you a little crooked, you're like, They can see that I was cheated on by that weird guy. And then you even really grade them for what they are. You know, because love has a tendency of blinding us and we don't see the people's ones. We don't see the people's defaults. And that's when you even start grading them. You're like, ha, I can't believe I got cheated on. I got cheated on by a person with a crooked hairline. I remember this one, you know, a friend of mine was having like a breakdown and she felt rejected by the guy. And she was like, yeah, I can't believe I was rejected by that guy with a crooked hairline. And I was like, you are really paying attention to his face. You must have really liked him, you know? So that's the self-blame that might come. Because you're like, oh, it's me. I'm the problem here. That's why he doesn't want me. That's why he doesn't want what. But that's also just what happens when somebody picks away at your confidence. When somebody doesn't bring you up and all they do is tear you down. They don't encourage you to do wonders. They don't encourage you even within your sense. You always have to beg them to notice you. Yeah, that one, bad. And then the next one is physical symptoms. And this one is sleep disturbances, where you can't sleep, where you sleep for 20 minutes and then you wake up. You don't even know why you are waking. You're like, oh, you wake again. Why? You wake up like 10 times in one night. Sleep disturbances or chronic pain. Chronic pain. You are always in pain. Sure. You're always in pain. You're always in pain. It could be that your back is paining, your legs are paining, your stomach is paining, your neck is paining, you're paining because your body doesn't really know how to digest what is happening to you emotionally. And especially the headaches, those physical, like chronic headaches. Yeah, it could be that you are just having betrayal syndrome and you are struggling with it. And that is why you are not sleeping and you are in pain. And that's why you guys say things like, oh, I slept on the pillow. The pillow was what? It's not that. Who betrayed you? Talk about it. Okay. And then exhaustion. You're always tired. Just sounds like, yeah, we're talking about other people here, but okay. You are always tired. You're exhausted. Exhaustion. Like, you know, you just came out of bed, but you are exhausted. You're like, oh, it's like I was running a marathon. You're tired. And the worst part is that everybody can see that you're tired. I was sitting across a gentleman today that was like, I said that, no, I'm just really tired of this. And then they're like, I can see. I'm like, I only got tired on my way here. I wasn't tired the whole time. I only got tired on my way here. But like, what you mean you can see? Like, do I get bags under my eyes? Is this weighing me down? And then we have weight changes where you fluctuate between weight, like you get thin, you get fat, you get thin, you get fat, you stabilize, get thin, get fat, get thin, you get fat, you just never get shorter or never taller. And then, digestion issues. Are you constipated? Do you have diarrhea? Is your stomach doing funny things all the time? These are the physical symptoms of betrayal syndrome, ne? And then there is loss of self and power. A profound sense of powerlessness, worthlessness, confusion about identity, and difficulty trusting oneself. Loss of power. This happens with women and men that are going through divorce when their whole lives crumble and fall to the ground and they have no idea, right, how they're going to pick it up. And they seem so helpless to the situation. And then they also seem worthless, especially when things are brought to the table and they are brought here and somebody points out things like, yeah, this is mine and this is mine. This is my, it's my fridge. It's my wife. And you didn't contribute, but you know, you helped for the mental state in order for the acquisition of these things. And this person is telling you that basically you are worthless. You understand? That also comes from there. And then there's confusion of identity. Like, who am I going to be after this relationship? So I was the matriarch for this relationship. So do I have to create a new identity? Can I still be matriarch? Can I still be Mirs? Can I still be Mirs Tuesday? Can I still be Mirs Solia? You know? And this is the confusion about identity. Like, you identify so much with your profession. For example, if you're an accountant and then you just got fired and then you haven't found work and it's just crazy. You're still an accountant in on paper, right? But you yourself, you find it difficult, you know, to like, am I still an accountant? Like, if people ask me, what do I say I'm an accountant, or do I say I'm unemployed, or what do I say? Do I say that, like, what do I say? Oh, my name is Miss Trustworthy. Like, is it Miss or Ms? And you're like, it's MS. you know, and you're like, but for 30 years I've been saying MRAs, and those are the difficulty in identity or confusion in identity and difficulty trusting oneself. Now you don't trust yourself with the correct choices. You think that every single time somebody talks to you, they're like, you are like, them. I don't know. I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if I can trust my own mind at this point, because my mind seems like it is Jedi-ing me. So ladies and gentlemen, let us move to our speakers, right? Let's move to our speakers for tonight. And remember that Eagle FM does not claim ownership of any of the clips that we are playing today. They are strictly for illustration purposes. We are going to start with the other side of infidelity. We're going to be talking to, or we're going to be listening to a lecture from Dr. Kevin Skinner. And he's talking about the other side of infidelity. Then we're going to move on to, if you have betrayal syndrome, and this is going to be by Debbie Slibber. So, enjoy.
That's going to show on your screen. So please, if you would visit the site. I wonder how many of you have had the opportunity to sit down with somebody who's experienced some form of infidelity or sexual betrayal. I'm a researcher who loves to study people. I feel it gives me a better understanding of what's actually going on in our society. And so today I'm going to invite you to participate with me in a live poll. It's anonymous. And the question I would like to ask is this. Have you or someone close to you experienced infidelity? We'll be able to watch these results come in live. So please put your votes in. If we go back to the address, I thank you for taking the time. When I was a little boy, between the ages of 6 and 7, I grew up in a small farm community. One day, my mom, older brother, and I were headed into town. As we approached a four-way intersection, we noticed that my dad's car, his pickup truck, was facing us heading north while we were heading southbound. As we looked, we noticed that my dad was in the car with another woman. At that point, my mom got out of the car, my dad got out of his truck, and they met in the middle of the intersection. Now, in a small rural community, you can do that. And they talked for a few minutes, and my mom came back to the car crying. A few months later, my parents divorced, and that experience was not talked about for nearly 40 years. The question that we face today is, how do we respond to those who've experienced infidelity? What do we say? And is it possible that we could actually do something that would be as traumatizing as the event itself? In order to prepare for today, I asked that question. I had one lady say, I'm not sure you want to share my story. But her story is too important not to tell. She said, I told my mom about my husband's multiple affairs. And she looked at me and she said, well, you know how you are. And if that wasn't enough, she went to her father and he said, that's just what men do. One man, he said, are you kidding me? I can't go to my friends. They would tell me to leave and I don't want to leave. And if I went to my family, they would criticize, put her down, and we would never have a relationship with them again. One lady went to her religious leader, and after hearing about her husband's emotional infidelity, the religious leader said, "I think you just need to serve more." And yeah, these responses might piss us off. But we are there with them in the trenches if they come to us. And what do we say? Do we say, just go spice it up in the bedroom? Or do we sit with them and seek a deeper understanding of their suffering? And I can tell you, this is not hard, or this is very hard, even for us as professionals. When I began in this profession, I had just received my PhD, 9.5 years of college. And I had a lady come to my office after her husband had come in, and he said, "I don't know what to do. I think my wife is going crazy. She's criticizing me." And a few days earlier, she had caught him engaged in some unwanted sexual behaviors, and he did not know what to say. He did not know how to calm her down. And he said, "Can you please help?" She came into my office, sitting down, almost in this rage. And if you've ever sat with somebody with that kind of rage, I think my whole office heard that session that day. And I realized quickly my 9.5 years of college did not prepare me for what she was experiencing. She hadn't slept for days. And every time they were together, there was yelling and fighting and criticism. She said to me, "I can't get the images out of my mind. They keep running over and over and over, racing. And then my kids and my friends call, and they don't even know what's going on, and I can't even respond to them." And then she said, "What's wrong with me that everybody close to me hurts me?" And finally, as we were sitting there, she said, "There is no stopping this anxiety. When he's gone, I'm monitoring his phone. When he's here, we're fighting. When I'm sleeping, I'm having nightmares." And I thought, okay, which book did I read about this in? And I didn't. At that time, I committed to learn how to figure this out, that I might be able to be helpful. And so I was sitting with a colleague and saying, "Have you seen this? Have you been experiencing this?" And she said, "Yes, I think what they're experiencing is relationship trauma that's very similar to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder." And I thought, no, that can't possibly be right. That's for war veterans. That's for people who had really difficult accidents or rape. And so together we put together an assessment, an online assessment. And I just let it sit online. I didn't do any advertising or marketing. But one night I sat at my desk looking at the results. 300 individuals had filled it out anonymously. And I sat down looking at the results. And I realized quickly that their story had to be told. Since that time, more than 7,000 individuals have shared their experience with infidelity and other forms of sexual betrayal with me. That night, if you could have been with me, I think a tear might have came to your eyes as you realized our society is suffering deeply and we don't know how to respond. I realized quickly that I needed to learn more. Because after that woman sat there, I started looking at the data, and the data was so heartbreaking. One individual. No, thousands. And today, while we're sitting here, many individuals will discover their partner's infidelity. And they will go into the symptoms I'm now going to share with you. Not only are they reliving it in their mind, but if I told you that 60% of them are having nightmares, so not only is it with them during the day, it's with them at nighttime. And then if I said, what about avoiding friends or family members? Things that they used to enjoy. The park. The swimming pool. The mall. They can't go there anymore because it's too triggering. And if I told you that that was 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, 60 to 70% report that they're avoiding people and places. And then, what about that internalized belief? What's wrong with me? Why would this happen? Am I not enough? Am I unlovable? And if I told you that another 60 or 70% also felt that way? And then I looked at this racing mind, the anxiety, and what we call in our field hypervigilance, which is that we're monitoring all the time what our spouse is doing. And if I told you that that was happening 60 to 70% of the time too, and quickly would realize that if a person has experienced infidelity, there's a high probability that 7 out of 10, 70 out of every 100, 700 out of every 1,000 are experiencing post-traumatic stress symptoms. Now, the final statistic that I looked at that night was about suicidal thoughts. And the question was, how many of you have experienced suicidal thoughts as a result of your partner's sexual infidelity? 6 out of 10 have had suicidal thoughts after their spouse's sexual infidelity. So the question may be, how can we help? How can we support? In particular, I've found 3 things that I found most effective. In that same question, when I asked people how people responded, I had one lady say, "My mom just hugged me, and she said, I'm going to be here anytime you need, morning or night." Her father looked at her and said, "No matter what, I will always love you. You're still my star." Everybody needs somebody. One religious leader, he said, "I'm going to be here for you. I know your spouse needs help, but you need to understand that I want to meet with you on a regular basis to make sure you're okay because you matter to me. And if you need more support, we'll get you more support." Everybody needs somebody fighting for them. The next part comes from a painful story of a woman who was coming to a session. She was a little bit late, and she was sitting in her car when I looked out the window and talking on the phone with her husband. As she came in, she was crying, and she sat down on my couch, and I just simply said, "I'm here." And she said, "My husband just told me that he's been sleeping with other women in our bed. Damn him!" And I just sat with her. Now again, I asked that question, what do you say? I sat and listened. But the real change came after our session. I had a group of women who were waiting to come visit for a group session. They were waiting in the lobby, and as my client opened the door to go set her next appointment up, I saw the look on her face. And the thought came to my mind, she can't be alone today, not today. And so I invited her to come in, and I said to my group, "This sweet lady had a painful experience today, a disclosure that's really hurtful. I didn't need to say anything else." They stood up and they embraced her one by one. And she received the comfort. And as she was getting ready to leave, they said, "No, no, no, don't leave, not now." And she stayed. And she heard their stories, and she shared hers. And when they were done, they exchanged phone numbers. And since that time, they've been on hikes together, they've ate meals together, and suddenly she has a tribe, people around her that really, truly understand. So point number 2 is we need people who understand us. And finally, number three is our trauma needs a voice. If there's one thing I've learned in my years of research, is that we have to treat the post-traumatic stress symptoms. We need to help people who are reliving it, who are having nightmares, who are avoiding people and places. And that community did that for her that day. Perhaps the most important thing I learned, though, came last year. After gathering all this data, I wrote a book titled Treating Trauma from Sexual Betrayal. And little did I know that my story, which I put in the book because it was a part of the healing journey that I wanted to share with those who were going through trauma. As I put my story in there, little did I know that my dad would purchase my book. 3 weeks after publishing the book, we went to visit my dad. It was a holiday. And he was a little bit uncomfortable. He took some time and he pulled me aside. And he looked me in the eyes. And he said, "Kevin, I'm sorry I hurt you." But it didn't stop there. He reached out to my siblings and he apologized to them. A few weeks later, we had a family activity where my mom and dad and their spouses were together in my home. My dad took time and he reached out to my mom. And almost 40 years later, he said, "I'm sorry for the hurt and pain I created in our family." Now it's our turns. If we go to this poll, we can see that most of us know somebody who's been touched by infidelity. The question may be, how are we going to respond? What are we going to say? Are we going to be there? Or are we not going to be there? Are we going to reach out and say, "Let me take your kids. Let me give you a break so you can get some sleep"? Our challenge today is that we can't ignore the reality of what's going on. Infidelity is not going to go away. The question will be, will we rise up as a society and nurture and take care of these individuals and help them? And perhaps even the most important thing we may do might not be our words. It might be that hug. It might be that phone call that says, "I'm thinking of you." Or it might be that person who offended, who opens up and acknowledges the pain they've created. We need to respond. It's time for us to reach out as a society and strengthen those hands who are down. May we make it so. Because if we do, our society will be much better.
If we do, our society would be much better. So, ladies and gentlemen, William was talking about betrayal trauma and betrayal syndrome. So, let's move on to, do you have it or do you not?
You couldn't brace yourself because you never saw it coming. You didn't have your guard up because you thought you were safe. It never crossed your mind that the person you loved, you trusted, you felt safe with would ever hurt you. So because of that, you gave your heart, your love, your loyalty, your trust. And then one day, out of the blue, you make a painful discovery, and that one life-altering moment gets forever tattooed on your mind and on your heart. It's as if the person you love, the one you trusted, just took a mask off, revealing who they've really been this whole time. Your heart breaks, and the pain is so raw, so real, so all-consuming, you could barely breathe. You feel like you got sucker punched. Nothing makes sense. So you frantically start questioning everything, including yourself. How did this happen? How did I not know? The shock, the lies, the deception. You feel so rejected, so abandoned, so alone. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to feel. You don't know what to do. The only thing you know for sure is that life will never be the same. That's what it feels like to be blindsided by betrayal. How do I know? Because that's what happened to me, along with millions of other people who struggle to make sense and recover from one of the most painful of the human experiences. It was my betrayal, first from my family and then from my husband, that had me feeling just like that. I felt so sad, so hurt, so confused. And that confusion sent me on a search for answers. I was desperate to understand how the mind works, why we do what we do, and how I could heal. That search led to a PhD program in transpersonal psychology. That's the psychology of transformation and human potential. And while I was there, I did a study. I studied how we experience betrayal, what holds us back, what helps us heal, and what happens to us physically, mentally, and emotionally when the people closest to us lie, cheat, deceive. That study led to three groundbreaking discoveries. The first was that healing from betrayal is very different than healing from other life crises, death of a loved one, disease, natural disaster. With any crisis, we grieve, we're sad, we mourn. But because betrayal feels so intentional, we take it so personally. So the whole self has to be rebuilt. Rejection, abandonment, belonging, confidence, worthiness, trust, they all have to be rebuilt. So that type of healing needed its own name, which is now called post-betrayal transformation. The second discovery, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and many of us do, if we're going to heal, we're going to move through five stages. What's even more exciting is now we know what happens at every stage, physically, mentally, emotionally, and we know what it takes to move from one stage to the next. So now healing isn't just hopeful or possible. It's predictable. I'll never forget handing my research over to my study chair, who read it and said, "Debbie, I believe you've discovered a process here." That was the moment I knew that millions of people would find comfort in knowing that there's a systematic approach to healing from something they thought they'd never recover from. The third discovery. There's a collection of symptoms, physical, mental, and emotional, so common to betrayal, it's known as post-betrayal syndrome. Now, here's the big misconception. We've been taught time heals all wounds. That's not true. Within 1 year, we've had over 4,000 people take the post-betrayal syndrome assessment quiz on our site to see to what extent they're still struggling. Every age, so many different countries. And there's a question that reads, is there anything else you'd like to share? Besides reading about the pain, the heartbreak, the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms left in the wake of this type of trauma, people write things like, "My betrayal happened 35 years ago. I'm unwilling to trust again. My betrayal happened 40 years ago. I can still feel the hate. My betrayal happened 15 years ago. I feel gutted." We've also learned that 67% of people who take the quiz prevent themselves from forming deep relationships because they're afraid of being hurt again. 84% have an inability to trust. 90% want to move forward, but they don't know how. And betrayal affects every area of life. It affects us in business or in relationships, where if we don't learn the profound lesson that betrayal was there to teach, we have repeat betrayals. The faces change, but it's the same thing. Or we put that big wall up. We're not letting anybody get close to our heart again. Sure, we keep out the bad guys, but we keep out the good guys too. We see it in health. where people spend so much time, money, effort, and energy going to the most well-meaning doctors, coaches, healers, therapists to manage a stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. At the root of all that stress, an unhealed betrayal. And we see it in business, where people want to be a team player, but they're so afraid. The person they trusted the most proved untrustworthy. How are they going to trust a boss or a coworker? Or they want to ask for that raise or promotion. They deserve it, but their confidence was shattered in that betrayal, so they don't ask. And they're bitter and resentful instead. And that's the energy they're bringing to work with them every day. And what does someone who's been betrayed look like? Here's the typical profile of the men and women we see in our programs every single day. Meet Sue. Before she says a word, you could feel her stress, her anxiety, her sadness, her pain. She can't sleep, so she's taking something to help her sleep, maybe having a glass of wine or two. She's exhausted, so she's using sugar and caffeine for energy, which is one of the reasons why she's been gaining weight recently. She's so anxious she can't focus, so her doctor prescribed mood stabilizers and anti-anxiety medications to help her get through the day, manage her mood. Her gut is wrecked. Her immune system is shot. She's filled with so much heartbreak, sadness, anxiety, and grief because she's been blindsided by an experience with betrayal. Sue can't undo her betrayal, just like I can't undo mine and you can't undo yours. What we can do is prevent how long it affects our relationships, our health, our work, our lives. You see, the gift in betrayal is it lays the foundation for transformation if we're willing to use the experience as an opportunity to learn and grow. I'm going to explain what I mean using an analogy of a house. See, here's the difference between resilience and transformation. Resilience is bringing back, restoring. It's a worthy goal. You need that for your everyday. Transformation is different. So, using the analogy of the house, let's say the house needs a new boiler, and you get that new boiler. That's resilience. Let's say it needs a new paint job, and you paint. That's resilience. Let's say it needs a new roof, you get that new roof. That's resilience. You're bringing it back, you're restoring. Here's transformation. A tornado comes by and levels your house. A new boiler's not going to fix it. A new paint job's not going to fix it. A new roof's not going to fix it. And in fact, all three aren't going to fix it. Now, you have every right to stand there at the lot where your house once stood and say, oh my gosh, this is the scariest, horrible, awful, most tragic thing I've ever seen. And you'd be right. And you can call your friends over and say, look at this. Isn't this the most horrible, terrible, tragic, awful thing you've ever seen? They'd all agree. You have every right to stand there at the lot where your house once stood and mourn the loss of your house until your last breath. However, should you choose to rebuild your house, remember, you don't have to do anything. But should you choose to rebuild your house, why would you build the same house? There's nothing there. Why not give it everything the old house didn't have? Why not make it bigger, better, more beautiful? Rebuilding is always a choice. Whether you rebuild yourself and move on, that's what I did with my family. Or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing and if you want to, you rebuild an entirely different relationship with the person who hurt you. And that's what I did with my husband. Not long ago, as two totally different people, we married each other again. New rings, new vows, new dress, and this time our four kids as our bridal party. Trauma is the setup for transformation. If you imagine a pendulum, before trauma, we're like this. And then trauma sends us here. This isn't the problem. The problem isn't that you find yourself here. The problem is that you stay here. The problem is that you feel like you belong here. The problem is that you plant roots here. No. Here's where you gather your thoughts. Here's where you create a new plan. Here's where you have all the motivation and incentive to do this swing to greatness. When you think of any thought leader of our time, they're not teaching us much from here. And they're in too much pain to teach us from here. They've done this, and this is what they're teaching us how to do. When you heal from your betrayal, You learn to love again, trust again, feel safe again, open your heart again. When you heal, you learn that even though it was done to you, it wasn't about you. When you heal, you see a version of yourself emerge that never would have shown up had that experience not happened. And when you take your trauma and you turn it into transformation, that's an idea worth spreading. Thank you.
That is an idea worth spreading. So, ladies and gentlemen, we might continue our conversation tomorrow, depending on how we're feeling. But all in all, I hope you guys got the gist of things. And we say bye-bye for now, right? But we will continue our conversations tomorrow. From me, the matriarch, I bid you farewell.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.